than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the Ravens are coming back to Baltimore from Atlanta with a big old W. This is a win streak. Do you remember like a month ago? Do you guys remember this? A month ago where the season was over, playoffs were out of the picture, wasn't going to happen for the Ravens, and now here we are just a couple weeks before the end of the entire season, and the Ravens are on a win streak, and not just any win streak, but a dominant win streak. It's what we were promised at the beginning of the season from Eric Weddle, not your same Ravens. We're kind of seeing it finally. Joining me as always to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Fantastic, man. They went down. I heard a story, man. Didn't you hear a story about the Ravens that went down to Georgia looking for a win to steal?
Was it a Raven? I thought that was somebody else.
The Ravens. Nah, well, it was the devil. But hey, he was. He was on the Falcon side because we didn't let them win because, hey, the Ravens balled out, man. And, dude, I couldn't be more proud right now. I didn't expect it. I mean, given that with the state of the Falcons, they weren't really a playoff team. They were really in shambles. But coming off a three-game losing streak, now they lost four. I mean, they were streaky. They won three in a row, then lost three in a row. And the Ravens have been on their streaks too. But hey, one continued and one or continued for the Ravens, and it also continued for the losing side of the Falcons. But man, the birds that we wanted to root for came out victorious in this one, and man, did I not expect that.
Yeah,
I didn't expect it. I thought it was going to be a close game. I said my gut says the Ravens will probably win, but I said if I was a betting man, obviously I put my money on the Falcons because I just had a feeling Ravens were probably going to lose a close one, but I just was, hey, I'm happy they proved me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, in my my work pool, I picked the Atlanta Falcons to win. I did not expect the Ravens to win this one. I'm happy they did. I'm happy to be wrong. I'm always happy to be wrong when it comes to something like that. But before we get into the game, I want to ask you, did you see these pictures circling around right around the start of the game on Twitter of the Atlanta Falcons stadium pretty much, it depends on how you look at it, half full or half empty? Where's the Atlanta Falcons fan base? Because from what I understand, the Raven fans were outnumbering the Falcon fans.
That's what I've been hearing. A lot of people, and this was one of the road games that I circled that I was probably going to go to, but it just so happened that I couldn't go.
Have you ever been to an Atlanta Falcons game in Atlanta?
No, I didn't go to the old stadium, and I was going to make it 2-for-2. And the reason why I did pick this one, man, is obviously the stadium's, I think, 2 years old. But I picked it because of a lot of reasons. For one, my brother's 2 hours away from the stadium. He lives in Tennessee, and basically, you know, for the sheer fact, I remember like last year I went to Minnesota and the Super Bowl was played there. Super Bowl is going to be in Atlanta this year, so it was awesome.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. I always thought the Atlanta Falcons had a pretty good fan base. I thought people would show up for it, but no, a pretty empty stadium, and the Ravens fans out there were loud, they were proud, they were wearing their purple. So, I mean, that's always good to see, but a lot of red seats. You know, when you have your seats be that bright of a color, it shows up on TV that your fan base isn't there. So, I mean, crazy to see that, but anyway, the The Ravens were dominant on every side of the ball. I don't even know where to start. I guess let's start with the big one, the big storyline of this entire football season, Lamar Jackson. Joe Flacco did return to practice late last week. He was still inactive, which doesn't surprise me. He came back, I think, Wednesday or Thursday of last week. I didn't expect him to play after coming back on that short of a time. But Lamar Jackson started the game. It was a little shaky. Let's be honest. He looked very good at certain points, but then there are other times where he was definitely a little shaky. He had that fumble towards the I think it was during the second period or second quarter. Which ended up being a touchdown, and then he was taken out of the game for concussion protocol, and we got to see RG3. So, what did you think of this Lamar Jackson RG3 showing this week against the Atlanta Falcons?
Dude, I thought it was it had its ups and downs. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it was awesome. I mean, the ultimate thing is it was a team effort and a team win. But
100%, yeah.
What's that?
That was 100%. I agree with you right there. It was definitely a team effort.
Yeah, definitely a team effort all around. It's any win or loss in the NFL. It can't be pegged on one or the other. I mean, you can look and dissect at the end of the game wins or losses, and you can go, okay, well, the offense didn't perform well, defense, you know, or the defense faltered as you usually have. I mean, you can point to a lot of things on losses and wins, but I mean, there was a lot of great things. What I was really fired up about was the fact that Lamar Jackson took his opening drive of holding the offense on the road and took it for a touchdown. So it was like the aha booyah in your face, because all these people are like, Lamar on the road, I don't know. He's played two home games, a hostile environment. He went right down the field and he scored the touchdown himself. So, I mean, what more you can ask for? Yeah, and there's some ugly in the bad. I mean, he to my remembrance, I don't think he threw an interception in this game. I know he fumbled a lot, and one was overturned, two they got back, but it was a costly one. But on the flip side, did we not see Matt Ryan do the same thing? So all those haters out there who were like, I mean, again, I get it. I'm not saying I'm justifying Lamar fumbling the ball, because obviously it can't happen, especially if you want to be a playoff team and you want him to do well and be the future. He's got to hold on to the rock, man. You can't be fumbling the ball like he did. But lo and behold, karma set in, and Matt Ryan got it. So, I mean, really, you're gonna bash Lamar for all these guys who really aren't on the Lamar train yet. I don't know why. But if you're not, it happened to Matt Ryan, so it's touche. You can't really say anything, because Matt Ryan did the same thing. And then, obviously, Matt Ryan's a way better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. Obviously, with the pedigree, it's no comparison. I mean, Lamar's a rookie. You can't even compare it to anybody in NFL, because he's only started three games and played in a handful. So he hasn't really had, you know, the pedigree to even be compared to anybody. The only people you can compare Lamar to is the rookie class. Compare him to Baker Mayfield, and obviously Baker Mayfield leads that class, being number one overall pick, Brandon. But it in any regard is, you know, you grade them for what they did. But what people are missing here, and it's pretty sad, is the Lamar Jackson effect. It's no secret and coincidence that the last time Joe Flacco touched the football, he was on the back end of a three-game losing streak. And yet, I've seen Joe Flacco go on winning streaks before, and I've seen him go on losing streaks before it all happens. I mean, he had the three-game losing streak in 2012 season for the Super Bowl champ. We've had them happen before, right? So we've been there. But when it's no coincidence that we've played a month of football with a bye week in between, and the Ravens have won every game and been successful doing so, and there's a formula working here. If you're basically sleeping under a rock and don't know it, the Ravens have amassed over 700 yards on the ground, dude. 700 yards in three games. They've averaged 200 yards rushing in three games. What was the complaint in the first eight, nine weeks for the Ravens? Do you remember? What was the main complaint in the offense?
Zero running game. No running game whatsoever.
They were, what, 27th? And I mean, come on. Zero running game. There was no oomph. You have to have a running game. You have to have both passing and running. But what has running the football versus passing the football have done over the last 3 weeks? It's ball control, keep away, and the defense is fresh. It is no secret that why we're being so successful in the last three games here, because it's a formula that's working. Do you not get that this formula created a formula where a result that held a Matt Ryan and a Julio Jones-led offense to 130 total yards. At one point, it was 15 total yards in the second half. The time of possession was dominant. At one point, I saw on a graphic during the game, I don't know if it was in a quarter or like two quarters or a half, but it was at one point, it was 21 minutes to like two. And they even said this leading up. And when I say they, it was all the media was like kind of saying the game plan, instead of trying to beat the Falcons by like with high powered offense, it's I think they're going to have to keep the ball away from Matt Ryan, and the best offense or the best defense is a good offense and ball control. And you're seeing it. I said, preach, ball control, ball control. When your defenses are keying on Lamar, it's opening the holes for Gus Edwards. And yeah, it's the same line or that block for Flacco, but Alex Collins wasn't getting it done. He wasn't hitting the holes hard. And when it's another threat out there, it's more also than that. So it's just it's a lot of – there's a lot of working parts here. And, yeah, the passing game's got to get better. But – and you can sit there and justify. And I'm going to tell you this right now, Brandon. If you hear anybody that says – and I'm sure you have – oh, Lamar played bad defenses. The Ravens played Kansas City this Sunday. Did not Kansas City just play Oakland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They only beat them by 7. Didn't we beat them by 14?
Yes.
And the Chiefs gave up 33 to that stupid squad, right?
Yep.
So you can't sit there and justify. I've been talking this to blue in the face. And if I'm going to offend some people, I'm sorry. But it's the stupid honest truth here is you can't sit there and justify, well, Lamar played bad defenses, which is a true statement. But then you can't turn around and say, well, even though Kansas City on obviously in paper and personnel, they're a better team. But you can't say it's okay if Kansas City plays them twice a year. It's they played the same opponent, and Ravens actually did better against them than Kansas City did. Kansas City had to get a late touchdown to even get the lead. The Ravens had them. I mean, the Ravens gave up the lead right on the get-go, and then they stepped on their necks and didn't let up. So, and the formula worked. So it's you can't justify wins in the NFL. Well, they play bad defenses. The Chiefs played the same team. The Steelers played this same team Sunday. So the Raiders get passed around here. So it's you can't say, okay, well, because the Steelers are on paper better than the Ravens, then because they play – you can't do that. You can't – I've said it, and I'm going to keep saying it on these podcasts, so I'm blue in the face. You cannot apologize for your opponent. I don't care if they're injured. I don't care if they're fully healthy. I don't care if the record is 0-16 or 0-5. You can't apologize for who you play at what point in the juncture of the season. When they make this schedule, Brandon, in April – they don't know how bad a team is going to be at any point in time in the season. Obviously, look, didn't we play the Bengals in week two, and look how strong that game was. Look at the Bengals now, right?
Correct, yeah.
They're without A.J. Green and Andy Dalton. They suck. They're done. Out of playoff contention. So you can't sit there and say, okay, because it's week to week. Look what just happened this past Sunday. Did not the Colts get blanked against Jacksonville, and how bad is Jacksonville? Pretty horrible, right? They benched Blake Bortles. So, and you have an Andrew Luck who was on an absolute monster tear doing two or three touchdowns. He had a streak where he had at least three touchdowns in every game. And then what did he do? Zero. They scored 0 points, lost 6-0. So you can't sit there and tell me you got to play your opponent that Sunday. And look, the Falcons, obviously in the beginning of the year, this was circled as a big fat L, and me included. And obviously going into this weekend, I was unsure because it was Lamar's first road game. We've had two good games at home. Let's see what happens on the road. But then, obviously, we didn't know that. Obviously, Devonta Freeman was going to be hurt in this game. We didn't know they were going to be 4-7, and they're having a down year, and they're out of playoffs. Which they were in the playoffs last year and made a division round. So there's a lot of – you just can't do it. So, I mean, you might say, oh, why are you worked up or get edgy? No, I'm passionate because it's like it's an invalid argument. You know, Lamar's lining up and doing it, and he's got to play better. Obviously, the team's lack and see – he was also criticized again. He fumbled, but then there was a counter. Matt Ryan did the same thing. He had a fumble six. So touche. Can't fault him. Both quarterbacks had the same thing happen to him. But then and there was a big play missed. Lamar missed a big wide open pass to John Brown, but it could have been for a big game, if not a score. He just overthrew him, got excited. But then Sunday Night Football, I watched Big Ben throw a pass in the end zone and missed. I think it was Antonio Brown, wide open. Could have been touchdown. Big Ben, Hall of Fame quarterback right there, or future Hall of Fame quarterback. So you can't sit there and crap on Lamar, and, oh, he's a rookie, things. But then I see other elite quarterbacks right now, Hall of Fame pedigree quarterbacks, making the same mistakes. So if you're going to put down a rookie quarterback, I don't care if you're arranged or not, you're going to put him down, then you better start calling out the big guys who are doing it because they're screwing up too. So, again, with this whole quarterback controversy, it's opened my eyes a little bit that we need to start get smarter here. Like, don't just focus on because you're comparing him to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's an 11-year vet who's played in the playoffs many times, has a 10-5 record, has one of the best road records, and won a Super Bowl. And you're going to – Lamar comes in, you're like, oh, he's not a quarterback. He can't throw. You're comparing him to Joe freaking Flacco, for goodness sake, right? So you can't do that. Lamar is Lamar Jackson. I'm – Brandon, I'm not you, right? You're Brandon.
That's
I'm
correct.
Josh, right?
That's me.
So yeah. I can't compare. We can't compare to each other. You're you and I'm me. So it's unfair to say if you put us at the same job, obviously, like if I do your job, if I go to your workplace and try to be you and do your job, I'm probably going to look horrible doing it, right?
Well, you did stop at my work once to record a podcast while you were
I did
in.
Know a little bit about what you do, but I would be a pretty horrible employee stepping in for Brandon. So it just goes to show you, like, you can't compare that, and that's what's unfair. It's two different styles. We know what Lamar Jackson is, and you knew it when the Ravens trade up to draft him. So why y'all acting surprised here? It's really funny to me, and I don't know. I get really frustrated because Drew Forrester used to be friends. He tweeted out this week along the nature of that lines. He said, you know, everybody's sitting here having an opinion, which is great. You can have a different opinion. Just be a little factual about it. Don't sit there and say, well, Lamar Jackson can't throw. Well, he had more passing yards in college than Flacco, so what do you mean he can't throw? Obviously, he can throw. He's a quarterback, and he didn't run a 40, so yeah, he can run faster. Then, on the flip side, you know, it's really tough to gauge that when you just don't know. And I'm just like, just don't judge it by, yeah, he has to play better, and I'm going to say this right now, it can't be sustainable. And you see, he got hurt this weekend. That's why RG3 entered the game, you know, but then again, you know, that's they have to fix that formula. And I feel like it's working right now for this team. It might not work long term unless they fix it and bring in coaching staff and tweak this and get the personnel. But for right now, as far as I know, this football team is on a 3-game winning streak. And the last time that Joe Flacco was a quarterback, we played our division rival. We lost a disappointing game by one score, and we lost 3 in a row, and we were 4-5. Now, and everybody's laughing at us. Now, if you turn on NFL Network and all the media, everybody's talking about us. The Ravens are dangerous. They can win the AFC North. And Brandon, newsflash, you want to get more excited, man? How many games are the Ravens behind the Steelers right now?
Is it half a game? One game?
Measly half a game. Half a game. So what I get fired up about is the dynamic has changed in a month. When Joe Flacco was last under center, we had no identity. It was boring. No running game. And everybody said, we need to throw better. Well, Lamar's played 3 games and was won 75% of the games that Joe Flacco took to get in 9 games. Joe Flacco had 4 wins in 9 games when he was under center this year. And Lamar's had the ball 3 times in 3 games, got 3 wins. Now, the wins are credited to anybody. The wins are credited to the coach. They're credited to the running backs. Credit anybody. The whole team won. So it wasn't just Lamar Jackson's win. It's the Ravens' win. But obviously, Lamar Jackson starts. He gets a W, just like Flacco. He starts, and he started a playoff game where he was 4-for-10 for 34 yards. The defense won that. But, hey, and running game won that too because it was a Ray Rice one right out of the gate that started off an 80-something yard run. But Joe Flacco is accredited for a playoff win. I don't care how they got it. So Lamar's got 3 wins. Now, whether it's the Lamar Jackson effect, and right now I don't think you can disrupt that. So you're probably going to get to this at some point in the podcast. Like, Josh, are we going to see Flacco or are we going to see him? It's the same old. And I say I love to hear your point of view, but for me, I don't think you can disrupt what's working right now because it's no coincidence that the Ravens are running roughshod with this rushing attack, and it's working. It's keeping the defense fresh. And my last point here, and I definitely want to hear yours, is you remember the Saints game, how we faltered there?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a big reason why, and I went back and looked at it. The Ravens a lot of times went 3-and-out in the second half, which tires the defense, right? Defense can't get rest. The Ravens were up 17-7, and then you sit there and tell me, well, if Joe Flacco's in, he would have won it. We were up 17-7 at 10 points on one of the best teams in the NFL this year and couldn't produce another score. And it took a last-minute drive when it was crunch time, when it was, oh, no, we have to scramble. And then it was too little too late because Tucker, the win took the field goal and he missed it. or extra point. So, yeah, I've seen him win game-winning drives, but don't sit there and tell me that, you know, Joe Flacco was in, it would have won the game. Well, obviously, we won three in a row, it's besides the point. But the reason why the Ravens, the big reason why they lost that game is the offense sputtered. They didn't produce. It was 17 points to 7, and then all of a sudden, they let the door open. It was like letting the Steelers hang around. You let an elite team hang around like Drew Brees and all that. They're going to get you. Three and out, defenses on the field, and they faltered. It was the defense's fault because they're tired. Look what happens when a ball control offense is in. Lamar, boom. Fresh, keeps the offense off the field, and then look at the defense feasting. It's getting back to what the Ravens know best in their formula. A great running game. Manage the game. Yeah, minimize the turnovers, but manage the game. Don't light up the stat sheet and let the defense go to work. This formula worked. Again, I'm not comparing these teams. They worked in 2000, and then they kind of worked in 2012 a little bit because it was the same thing. The offense wasn't late on the scoreboard, but they were effective running, and the Jamal Lewis days were the same. So that's my take, my rant. What are you seeing here in the last three games? What have you seen? What is your point of view? Are you pro Lamar? Are you pro, hey, I want Flacco in? You know, Lamar did his thing. Thank you. No, thank you. Jeff, if Flacco closes us out. What is your take, man?
I mean, I'll save the big discussion for the Purple Friday preview later on this week as we get closer. However, I will say what Lamar Jackson has done in the last three games has been incredibly impressive. He has looked like he belongs. He might not be a full-time starter just yet, but what he's doing for this team as well, he's energizing this team. He's inspiring this team. It looks like the guys want to play in front of him as an O-line. They want to play with him, as a complete offense. So he's inspiring the other players, which is good. We haven't seen that in a while. But as far as who's going to start against Kansas City, I'm going to save that for the Purple Friday preview. I will say this. I don't know how you stop a guy who's on a run. When the Capitals were going for the Stanley Cup last year, Braden Holtby, the number one goaltender, was on the bench for Philip Grubauer.
I remember that.
Philip Grubauer started the Stanley Cup playoffs because he was the hot hand at the time. You don't just, when your starter becomes healthy, you don't just go, all right, starter's back, even if the other guy's on a run. You go, starter's back, let's do this. No, you don't do that. You know, you go with the hot hand at the time. So Lamar doesn't look like he's cooling down at any point. But let's save the long talk about that for the Purple Friday preview. Let's continue to talk about the Atlanta Falcons here. We talked a lot about offense. Let's talk about the fact that this team on all three sides of the ball, yes, all three sides, have been playing really well. Special teams, we got to see Sam Cook throw the ball, a fake that actually worked, no flags, which was great. That was different. What do you think it was about that play at that point in the game that the Ravens decided, yeah, we're going to have Sam Cook throw the ball because dude has a fantastic arm. I mean, I got to feel as if he was a QB at one point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually intriguing to see. It was an exciting play. It caught me off guard. But what I see there is obviously he was listed on the depth chart, but everybody was even joking that Sam Cook threw a better spiral than the actual starting quarterback. I mean, it could have been, it obviously was true, but it was a great play at the right time, and I felt like it was a great way to test that. It was one of those things that worked. I mean, it could have worked to put him in the range of scoring, but unfortunately, Lamar had to fumble the ball, and it was returned back for a touchdown, so it is kind of was a wash and a wasted opportunity for the play. But you know, the Ravens have been known for doing this sneaky stuff before. I mean, they did it against the Steelers at one point. They did it even in the Super Bowl. Remember the field goal and Tucker ran it, and he almost got the first down, which could have really turned the tide of the game. So, because it was right there near the goal line. So the Ravens, and with Harbaugh being that special teams guy, he always likes to throw in that wrinkle on surprise and not to get carried away with it. But it was well-timed, well-executed play. And unfortunately, and you're right, man, you have to mix it up. And I think those kind of plays could be used later down the road if you really catch them sleeping and you need the momentum. And I think at that point, if I remember the score, the Ravens were up 7-3. So okay, they converted that fourth down, the fake. They got it there. I think they were obviously, I think, at least in field goal range. I would have to go back on the film and look at it. I don't know if they were on the 30 or the 20. They were somewhere around there. And obviously, unfortunately, Lamar fumbled it and he returned. So let's say even then, I even said that too. They're swing because even if they stall and get three, you're up a score. And really, the Falcons really didn't score until the late part of the game. You held them to 3 points most of the whole time. They had that defensive touchdown. It was 10-10 at half. It was scratch and claw to get there. But the Ravens did well. They kicked the field goal. Tucker got his due, and they did it. And Tucker's 4 field goals proved.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more now about that defense, that dominant defense that held the Atlanta Falcons to what? What was it, 100? 110?
Dude, 130 total yards. I think it was the total. I can pull it up here. I got the Ravens app up. I'm going through my notes, obviously, back and forth. There's a lot of information here. Just give me a second, Brent. We'll pull up the box score for you. They changed the app. I don't like it, but it is what it is. At least for my iPad.
Yeah, I mean, now all the NFL sites kind of look identical, yep. So it's a little hard to tell it apart. But the defense looked fantastic.
They did, man.
Tavon Young was able to get a touchdown this time around after another sack and a fumble. So the defense, what's different about them now? You know, they started off the year strong. They kind of fumbled themselves, and now it looks like they're back to those not your same Raven type of plays. What has changed in the last couple weeks?
Well, they're rested, man. They're rested.
Oh, so you're saying because of what, Lamar Jackson being on the field longer, not as many three and outs, the defense is playing better?
Absolutely, no doubt. It is because it's a numbers game. It's a cause and effect. You know, when your offense is on the field for as much as they are in time of possession, your defense is resting. So, and it's less time for the Falcons to get rhythm. So when they get in there, I think the Falcons only had 10 possessions and they only amassed 16 points. And 7 of that was on defense with a fumble. So they didn't really produce much. And the last touchdown, I think they scored with a few minutes left in the game anyway. Conclusion. So they were still down 3 scores to that. So the Ravens took care of business, but it's a best winning formula because it's like you're playing against an elite offense. Their best weapons, obviously, are quarterback. Anytime you're playing Patriots, it's Brady. You're playing Packers, it's Rodgers, it's so on. So if that's their best player, you don't want them on the field. With them on the field less and you on the field more, it's more opportunity for you to win. So I think that's why you're really not surprised. And I think what's changed is, before you had the Jimmy Smith effect. He wasn't playing up to his potential, I felt. You know, but Marlon Humphrey, man, just came out of nowhere. And Tavon Young's been making plays. Again, I can't say about Marlon Humphrey. He's a megastar right now on the defense, MVP. You have Terrell Suggs. Dude, Terrell Suggs, man, wrecking havoc. At his age, at his point, he wants to play beyond 2018, and this is where it's going to be intriguing in the offseason. I don't want to rush that, but will he want to have that paycheck, or will he go, you know what, I want to ball out for Baltimore one more year? And but who knows, because it's going to be the Lamar Jackson show next year fully, and team heading in a different direction. So I don't know what's going to happen. If Suggs will be new from, we'll cover that obviously as the months go by and we get to the offseason. But Suggs for us is right now Ball Sahar University and then some, man. He's taking everybody to class, making plays. And again, the safety play is still suspect. I have yet to see it, but for 2 straight games, there has been a fumble 6 and with the sack. And Matt Judon stepped up in the Raiders game. It was Darius Smith was in this game, and Suggs and company just wrecking havoc.
Michael Pierce was a part of that too, right?
What's that?
Michael Pierce was a part of that too, right?
I was about to say, Mike Pierce, 97. Yeah, I was trying to figure out. I was like going through my memory. I'm like, I knew there was a couple more players in there that I think. So, yep, Mike Pierce was involved in that. So it's just everybody's getting in on the action, but they're fresh. And when you have a fresh defense, yeah, and the same time, everybody said this too, and there was a good point made. It goes, okay, well, if you have ball control offense, right, and then you have the defense, you know, resting, but then everybody's like, but at the same time, the Falcons offense is resting. But I don't think that's a good correlation because to me, I like a fresher defense because offense, I mean, I don't know what it takes to play in the NFL and the effort, but I would think with defense you're going after, it takes a lot more effort to get after the ball and getting after defenders than just, you know, I don't know. I mean, the line's the heftiness, but I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, but I just feel like defense needs to be fresher. You know, there's a fresh offense, you can still get stagnant, you can miss routes, you can drop balls. But defense, all you're doing is covering and get after somebody. So you don't have to handle footballs unless you're trying to pick a ball. So, I mean, defenders, I would think, in order to sustain it over a period of a full game, they need to be well rested because a tired defense, look what happened in the past. They faltered. They're tired and they can't cover fast offenses. They're doing no huddles. They can't keep up. And when you're tired, you can't pass rush. I mean, you're not getting the oomph. But especially with Suggs at his age, you give them rest and all that. And these veterans, they're going to come at and again feast. And you're seeing a well rested defense playing lights out. And that's the effect. And whether you choose to really believe it or try to go past that and skirt around it, you can all you want. But the numbers are in our favor for last three games. You can take a look and be my guest, go in the Ravens' losses and say, go to the Saints' loss, go to the Steelers' loss, see the time possession, see the three and outs. Go look at the play-by-plays and see the times that the Ravens would, you know, let's say they had a long sustained drive by the Steelers, okay? And then, Steelers scored, or the Saints scored, and it was an eight-minute drive, defense is tired. Joe Flacco gets the ball. Let's say they run it, first down, okay, the clock's running, and they didn't get nowhere. Second down, let's say they try to throw it, it's incomplete. So the clock stopped, you have a minute of game time, maybe 3 or 4 minutes of real time. Oh, third and long, Joe Flacco throws incomplete, three and out, got a punt. So the offense, the defense didn't even get but 5 to 7 minutes of real time rest, and they just were on the field for maybe 8 minutes of game time, maybe 15, 20 minutes real time. So it's not enough. But when they complement each other, man, it's a balance, give or take. The offense has to be on the field a good amount of time to, number one, score, but give the defense a rest so they can come back healthy because a tired defense is not good. And I feel like a tired offense can still perform, but a tired defense, it's just too much action and too much at stake.
All right. So, Josh, for this Red Eye review, have we covered everything?
We covered everything, quoth the Raven. Nevermore. I'm just proud of this squad right now, and I'm enjoying every moment.
As am I. This is a fun time to be a Ravens fan. So,
Isn't it? It really is.
So
enjoy it, man. And that's the thing. Like, and you're seeing it across the board, aren't you? Like, have you seen the debates just ramp up every week? Like, isn't it been crazy?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about it. For the last year and the beginning of this year, I knew a lot of people that were like, you know what, I'm not even watching anymore. I'm bored. This is not the team that I want to root for. And now it seems to they've been reignited, and it seems as if the fan base is – that bandwagon is getting a little bit heavier once again. Well, hey, fine by me. That's cool. If you want to hop on that bandwagon, more power to you. Come on board. So – if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
All right, they can always find me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys. So what else can we talk about? Where else can you talk to us? Oh, yeah, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, there's always something cool going on over there. Always sharing any kind of news, history, whatever you guys are looking for over on Facebook. So go check us out there. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest. Oh, actually, you can't talk about it on Tumblr anymore. You're going to get flagged. Everything's getting flagged over on Tumblr. But anyway, go to Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, Reddit, Snapchat, Vero, Twitch, wherever you're social on the web with your phone. Say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Make sure you go write us an Apple Podcast review. Tell all your friends. And that's pretty much it. So this has been the Red Eye Review for the Ravens versus the Falcons. Josh, take us out. Get us ready for Purple Friday. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's good to have you back, my friend. And hey, man, it's lonely without you around here.
It's good to be here.
It is, man. You still trying to recover from your vacation, right?
Man, my work schedule is insane right now. So, I felt pretty good after vacation, but I haven't even been back a full week yet, and my butt has already been kicked.
Well, nice flag segue, I guess, just like the rest, man, just throwing the laundry out there on the field.
That's what I do.
That was awesome. Yeah, you're going to get flagged on Tumblr. You're going to get flagged in the NFL no matter what you do, it seems like these days. But now the Ravens are flying high, man. We're enjoying this ride. I mean, you know, don't want to sound, you know, getting on the depressed train here. But, man, you know, we got 4 weeks left, 4 games. And, and Brandon, speaking of those 4 games, there's an important game. How special was it to see the Steelers collapse on Sunday night?
That's always good to see. I love seeing that.
It was a big game for us, and I said going into it, leading up to the game, I was talking to the guys, you know, at the place I watch games with, and I'm like, how special would this win be? Because we can sit by in the Sunday night game because it's a win-win for the Ravens, because if the Chargers win, Steelers lose, obviously, you know, the Ravens are half game out. Then if the Chargers were to lose, Steelers win, then the Ravens are one game back of the fifth seed, and then they're still a game and a half out of the division with four to play. So it wasn't a foregone conclusion. But look at the dynamic, man. I want to close the show out like this, you know, not to have this underlined, but taking some nuggets here to the preview later in the week, the Purple Friday preview, is look at the dynamic that changed over the last month. Remember how we covered the Steelers game and it was such a heart-wrenching loss, 3 in a row, divisional opponent, we could have swept them, we had them on the ropes. The Ravens, when they lost the game, they were 4-5 and the Steelers were 5-2-1. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then look at the landscape. The Ravens have won 3 straight with a bye week, and the Steelers are 2-2, and the Steelers are 7-4-1, and the Ravens are 7-5. And you look at the Ravens' opponents. I mean, we're going to really break this down, number one, with the matchup of the Chiefs and the X's and O's, but also go and show the implications. But I want to set the table here. But the Steelers play some two quality opponents and two suspect opponents. They're always willing to play down to the opponent like the Ravens, kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, they take them lightly, and they almost lost to the Jaguars, but they could have lost 3 straight and be 1-3 in the last 4 games. And the Ravens are flying high. Right now with Lamar, I feel like they're going to get the job done. And again, this Chiefs, it's a tough game coming up here, man. We got a lot to cover, a lot to break down. But if we carry this momentum, this wave has been incredible. I'm going to be on for the ride. I don't want to sit there and say I discredit Lamar's play. Okay, well, I can get over the turnovers. I can get over that because we're winning. Dubs matter. Dubs get you in the playoffs. Stats don't. You can throw for 500 passing yards every game and 4 touchdowns, but what if your defense gives up 40 points and then you only score 28 when you throw 4 touchdowns? Oh, they're running game. Okay, well, you're going to lose. You're going to be out of playoffs. So what do you want? Do you want a powerful offense or do you want some wins? You know, yeah, we'd be nice to have both, but you can't because that formula is not going to sustain itself because look what happened this week against the Falcons. Look what the Cowboys did to the Saints. The Cowboys beat the Saints on last Thursday night. They beat the Saints. Newsflash. With defense. Drew Brees, 8 fantasy points for all you fantasy gurus. 8. Kamara, I heard. When you have a physical defense who's fresh and hits these finesse teams in the mouth, physicality wins over finesse any day. You can always say, hey, I've always been a mantra against that. I've always said, hey, quick beats strength because you got to catch me. But I look at it this way. Finesse always runs out of steam. And then that strength will catch up to you. And when that strength catches up to you, you're done. So I could be faster than you. You could be stronger than me. But if I tire out and you catch me, it's game over for me. So if you hit these guys where it hurts, they don't know how to handle it. And you can control them. And the Cowboys in the NFC showed the blueprint by beating the Saints. They're vulnerable. The Ravens should have done that and didn't because of the ball control and all that. So I'm not saying if Lamar was playing against the Saints, we wouldn't win a game. You don't know. But they got stagnant on offense, and there's a reason for it. Joe got hurt. I'm not saying I hope for injuries at all, but it's a blessing in disguise. the same way any other quarterback of these greats started. Drew Bledsoe got hurt for the – I can sit here and tell you the stories of old. We all know the stories. Bledsoe got hurt and enters Tom Brady, wins the game. Belichick had a decision when Bledsoe got healthy. He stuck with Brady. Look what happened. And legend of Tom Brady's born. He's great. He's the GOAT Hall of Fame or whatever. You know, there it is. So – obviously, I'm not dubbing Lamar Jackson at any of the stretch above and putting his name in the same sentence, but it's Lamar's time. Joe Flacco, thanks, man. You did great, but Lamar's done a good enough job in managing the games and a total team effort and winning. And we're going to be covering it every step of the way here on the call. 3-game winning streak. The Ravens are in prime position in playoffs. 7-5 record. Can the streak continue at Arrowhead? We're going to break it all down on the Purple Friday preview. Stay tuned. And that edition of the call, let's say, hey, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.